All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm a little bit excited about this. I probably lay a big old fat goose egg, but I'm nonetheless excited about this study tonight. And just a one-word study, but I've been excited about it. More excited than I have been. Let me just say it like this. I thought about actually calling some people and telling them to listen to the recording, and I said, well, I'll just wait till after the recording before I make the phone call. You know, it might be like, so let's go. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. We'll read it all. It's only 13 verses. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also as I am known. Even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now this has been on my mind for probably 2, maybe 3 months. Wait a minute, I go all the way back to the summer. It's been on me, honestly, ever since the summer, this very passage, this word. And just been dealing with it and looking at it. And I thought, you know, on the way over here, maybe, Michael, I ought to try to crawl up underneath the pulpit and try to preach this because I'm such a failure at it. But nonetheless, the Lord has preached it to me, and he's preached it to me because I needed it. And so that's the only thing I know to preach is what the Lord preaches to me. And as much as we read through the book of Psalms or Proverbs, people make it a common practice to read a proverb a day, and many people with that proverbs counter that proverb with 5 chapters of Psalms. And we know that if you read 1 Proverbs and 5 chapters of Psalms, and you get through each book once a month and 12 times a year. But I do believe this. I believe as much as we read the Proverbs or try to make anything a common practice to read, I think we ought to try to take 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and if we could memorize, it'd be a real blessing to try to memorize every word in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and try to live by it and practice it. James Strong has defined this word charity. Unfortunately, he's defined the word charity, that's Strong's concordance, he's defined it as love. I said James Strong defined charity as love. You look in the back of Strong's Concordance, you'll see that he calls it love. James Strong, ladies and gentlemen, was on the committee, and I wish you would find out what you had to be and do to be on the committee of the American Standard Version of the Bible. It took a bunch of perverts and a bunch of reprobates to produce this ASV, this American Standard Version of the Bible. That's all they are. It's just a bunch of reprobates and probably some of the worst that was on that committee. And James Strong was part of that committee. So the ASV was one of the leaders, one of the pioneers at putting, instead of charity in their Bible, they put love in their Bible, where it says charity never faileth, they put love never faileth. Well, that's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. If God wanted love in 1 Corinthians chapter, if God wanted love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll promise you unto God, we would have an inspired Bible from the God Almighty that said love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's what it would say. God's got every word right in place. He's got every T crossed, every I dotted, every comma, every semicolon, every period, everything, every page. I believe the maps, the rivers running through those maps, I believe are inspired of God Almighty. Right. Perfect book. Wouldn't change a thing. I believe in the titles, the subtitles. Amen. The headings, I believe in it all. The chapters, the chapter numbers. The book names, I believe in it all. James Strong and his crowd. Listen, whether it was a lexicon or whether it was a commentary, none of these guys ever had an original thought. Every one of them, if you'll study them down, and this is not my thought tonight, but it's just a foundation. If you'll study these men, you'll see that every one of these men copied what everybody else said. Didn't have an original thought. They just thought what the other man thought and said what the other man said, and they just a bunch of copycats. Whether it be a lexicon or a Bible or a book, they all just repeat each other. And I'm saying that once the word charity is swapped out the love, then all the copycats did the same thing in every Bible. The NIV says love. The RSV says love. That was the originator, and all the copycats has come along behind it, and they've copied it and took charity out of their Bible and put love there. And friend, I'll be honest with you, God don't like it. That's right. He wants that word charity right there. Isn't it a crying out loud shame that God messed up putting a different word in the Bible? Isn't it a shame that our little old measly God ain't got enough to write the Bible in the way that he wants it? He has to have some little noodleback man to come along and correct the word of God and say, well, this is what that means. This is what should be there. Isn't that amazing that we serve a God that weak? That's not my God, friend. I promise you that. No, sir. Our God has got everything just right in place. Folks, God said charity, and he meant charity just as well as he meant love in John 3:16. God did not mean for God had the charity for this world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Good. What is that I say in our congregation quite a bit? You love who? Who do you love? You love who you help. You love who you help. Yeah, that'll tell on you every once in a while, you know it. That'll tell on you. Reason you ain't loving people right, because you ain't helping them right. That's just Bible, and I'm going to prove it for it so well. This is charity. Charity will boost your love. Charity is gasoline to love. That's what it is. It'll encourage your love. It'll help your love. It'll grow your love. You have a problem loving people? Show them some charity. Charity will get that love going. Sure will. Folks, don't let their marriage crumble and end up in divorce because of a lack of love. Are you listening? People don't end up in divorce court, Miss Stephanie, because they didn't love each other. They loved each other. People end up in divorce court because they have no charity. You do away with that charity. And it doesn't matter, friend. Listen, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? You know how many cultures, how many nationalities, men don't even get to pick their wife, nor wives get to pick their own husband? But yet they have a wedding and they got to live together. You know what happens? That husband, that man and that woman, that mother and that daddy, they go out and pick their son and daughter a spouse. And on a marriage day, they meet. And you know what? They have no love one for another. They don't love each other. So you know what they got to do? They got to learn how to show each other charity. They got to walk in charity one toward another. You know what happens? They begin to fall in love when they show each other charity. Man, I tell you, when she starts doing for him, she starts loving him. When he starts doing for her, he starts loving her. And the next thing you know, they're head over heels in love. And most of them can live happily ever after because of the ones that walk in charity. The ones that walk in charity. Now, I've seen some of them from them cultures absolutely not get along. But if you'll pay attention to their life, they have no charity in their life. They're very selfish, just like the rest of Americans. They're self-seeking, they're self-pleasing, and it just seems like, man, their mom and daddy's got them hooked up. And they never can really get that thing to get because they're missing charity. Well, God help us. I told a man, and I don't want to get caught off on it yesterday. But I told a man yesterday in a sissy conversation that I had. And on one of my effeminate moments, I love my wife and kids. I love my wife and kids. And I would venture to say that every man in here loves his wife and loves his kids. But that man was he was a follower of the NIV. And I asked him, I said, "Sir, are you a King James only guy?" And he said, "No." And he said, I didn't condemn him. He said, "I study all the Bibles." He said, "I do my preaching and my teaching out of the King James, but I read and study all those Bibles to deepen my knowledge in the Scriptures." And I didn't say everything I wanted to say. I didn't say what I wanted to say. But I asked him, I said, "Sir," and he's all into this Greek and everything. And so I asked him, I said, "Sir, do you love your wife?" "Sure, I love my wife." I said, "Have you ever failed her?" He said, "That's a different kind of love. That's a romance." Listen, church, that's a stupid, worldly, carnal, wicked, sensual definition. Is that not so? Yes, there is a relationship between a husband and a wife. And I don't know if you can call it love making or not, to be actual. I don't know what you call it. I know what God calls it. I know what the Scriptures refers to it as. But it's not that what he was saying was not a biblical term. "Sir, don't you love your wife?" "Yeah." "Have you ever failed your wife?" "Sure I have." "Then love fails." "You love your children?" "Sure I love my children." I told him, I said, "I see you got two beautiful children. I've had three and I have failed them thousands of times. But you know what I never did do, Michael? In my failures, in my flops, in all the mistakes I made, I never stopped putting food on the table. I never stopped working and help pay or paying the light bill. I never stopped working and paying the rent or the mortgage. Hey, man, I failed. I've done everything in the world I could wrong, but it never did stop the charity that I had for my family. I still did things. I still carried on. That character of love kicked in, although my love failed." I'd venture to say most mamas and daddies, most of them, decent ones, love their children and want them to grow up and have decent lives. But has your love stopped your kid or millions of kids from going out doing dope? You don't think their mom and daddy loves them? Sure they love them. You don't think they want them to not do that kind of stuff? Sure they don't want them to do that. Sure they want them to live right. Sure they love them. Man, they've loved them with all their heart. But yet that love can't stop that. Love fails. You want to have trouble in paradise? Just quit putting food on the table. Just quit putting food on the table. Quit paying the light bill. Quit paying the rent. Quit paying the mortgage. You want to have trouble? Oh, I'm telling you, friend, your love can slip and slide, and you can have high times and low times. And listen, the firecrackers may not go off every time you get you some sugar, but I'll promise you one thing, friend, you can still make it in charity. But you let that stop and watch what happens. It's where people get in trouble. You make this thing work, and we'll see. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 13, verse 1. Paul said, "Though I speak with tongues," I want you to see the extremity that Paul went through. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," Paul said, I want you to understand something. He said, if I walked up in a Spanish church and started speaking Spanish, he said, that's good. If I can walk over in a Russian church and start speaking Russian, if I walk anywhere in the world in the any nationality, any language known to man, I can walk up in that church and I can start preaching the gospel in a language that they can understand.
That's pretty remarkable. Think about just in the society you live in, being able to talk to everybody that you come across and being able to speak their native language fluently. Pretty amazing. He said, I speak with the tongues of men. What's this? Go beyond that. Paul said, I speak with the tongues of angels. He said, I got a heavenly language. What if you could speak like the angels spoke? What if you could talk like the angels of heaven? Man, a heavenly language, wouldn't that be a blessing? Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, what's this? And have not charity. He said, all I'm doing when I'm speaking Spanish is making a bunch of stinking noise. He said, if I ain't got charity, it don't amount to a hill of beans. He said, you can speak every fluent language known to man on planet Earth, but if you don't have charity, all you're doing is making a bunch of racket. All you're doing is getting on people's nerves. All you're doing is making a bunch of noise, and it ain't profiting anybody a thing without charity. Pretty good. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, church, are you kidding me? Man, I can't answer the simplest questions, but this man had the gift of understanding everything. He said, man, ask me a question. I can uncover all the mysteries of God. Ask me a question. I wouldn't be that bold for nothing in the world. Here's a man that said, you know what? Ask me a question. I understand these mysteries. I can uncover them. I can unfold these mysteries for you in the Word of God. Just ask me. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You get to look into some of them mysteries, some of them questions, some of them unknowns. Paul knew them. Though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. He said, I got all knowledge. Man, you're talking about a smart guy. He had all knowledge. He knew it all. Paul was a know-it-all. Literally. But what's this? And though I have all faith, Paul had that faith, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what these idiots get out of climbing Mount Everest. I mean, who in the name of God wants to put on all them clothes and run out of breath and climb a stinking mountain where it's 20 million below zero and freeze and get frostbit and put your life in danger and struggle like who in the man and climb up there and they think they've reached the pinnacle of life. Boy, I climb up. So what? Here's your cookie. What do you want? Go home and pay your light bill now. It's still due. That's right. Go home and take care of the needs because they're still there. Paul said, you know what I can do? Paul said, I can go over there to the Mediterranean. And I can speak to Mount Everest, and I can say, Mount Everest, dump yourself into this Mediterranean. Would you believe this, Debbie? He said, I got all faith. Mount Everest would dump itself into the Mediterranean. Paul had the ability, ladies and gentlemen, to move mountains. That's pretty amazing. He said, I got all faith. All faith. Ain't that what that is? All faith. So that I could remove mountains. Paul said, if I have not charity, I'm nothing. Could you imagine Michael being standing out there and you tell Mount Everest to hey, Mount Everest, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you and Mount Rushmore to swap places and do a reverse and swap places with Everest and Rushmore. Could you imagine how CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and, I mean, this world, man, they'd be all over that. They'd have you blasted on the TV. I'm telling you, man, you'd be the most remarkable man since Moses. It'd be amazing. They'd have you telecast all over the world, man. They'd be lifting you up. But Paul said it like this, if I can do that and have not charity, I'm absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing. Brother Sammy said, that's the big O and the zero. Right. Speaking of Brother Sammy, he's back down there in Concord. And I'm having to support him this week. So I'll be back down there tomorrow night. And Lord willing, probably Friday night. Won't get to see him much, but try to go back down there and see him. But then Paul said, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's a good thing, ain't it? That's a good thing. Oh, bless his heart. Look, he sold everything. Paul sold his house and helped poor people. Paul sold all of his horses, his chariots. He sold, listen, man, he had that 14 karat gold chariot and them four-wheel drive, hoof-driven horses. I mean, it's amazing. Paul sold every bit of it and helped poor people. Paul said, what if I did that and helped the poor? That'd be something, wouldn't it? Be amazing. Wouldn't I be somebody? And we probably would think so. Yeah, that's pretty good. It would be a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Though I give my body to be burned, Paul said, you know what? I'm a martyr. I could be a martyr. And he was a martyr. Ain't that something? What if you gave your body to be burned? What if you gave your body to be burned and you got to heaven and you died a martyr's death, huh? I mean, boy, we talk about that. We hold that thing up. Man, we polish that. Oh, to die for the cause of Christ. Oh, to die for the cause of Christ. Paul said, if I died for the cause of Christ and had not charity, God's going to tell me your reward's burned up, old boy. That's right. Paul gets nothing for that. You could die for the cause of Jesus Christ, but if you have not charity, nothing. You're going to suffer loss when you stand. That reward is going to be burned. It's wood. It's hay. Outside of charity, it's nothing but stubble. Amazing. Charity's pretty important. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? Feed the poor, give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I ain't getting no rewards for that. Charity suffereth long. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. You know what puffs up, don't you? Bible says knowledge puffeth up. That old pride kicks in, son. Knowledge. Boy, I'm something. Pride. Charity don't say, look at me. Charity don't say, hey, man, recognize me for giving to the poor. It don't say, hey, look, I can speak all languages. I can do all this. It don't do that. I tell you, when I read this, it makes me want to minister in a closet somewhere where nobody ever can see me but the people I'm ministering to. I'm telling you. Because I'll be honest with you, there's going to be things, Michael, that I think I'm going to get a reward for. When in all reality, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I mean, there's going to be some things in my life that's it's going to be a rude awakening for some of us. And I'm some of us. Some of the things I've done was done in pride. As much as I try to cover that up and hide that and deny that, God's going to reveal that. Well, pretty good. Charity suffereth long. I had that conversation with a guy yesterday. Church, we're living in a social media crazed society. And I don't even like much talking about it, but we've got Facebook and we've got Twitter and we got, I guess, all that stuff still out there, MySpace and man, no telling what all, Flickr, Instagram, you know, just all that stuff, social media. Would you believe, ladies and gentlemen, how much drama floats around on social media? And it's not outside the church, it's inside the church. Not everybody anymore has some kind of a social media deal, some connection or something. And it's amazing, Eric, and how much I hear about people that's on Facebook and how much trouble that's causing inside our churches. Drama, drama, drama. You want to know why, Miss Stephanie? Because there's no charity, no charity. Can I tell you what will abolish drama? Can I tell you what will annihilate drama? Can I tell you what will absolutely bury drama? Charity, charity. It will destroy it. You give me a man that's full of charity and a woman that's full of charity, friend, you'll find zero drama in between them. That's right. Just don't happen. We're living in this thing, though. I've heard of churches splitting over Facebook drama. I've heard of it because people say this and people say that. People don't hide what they say on Facebook. It's amazing. The whole world can see what you say. They can see what you wear. They can see what you do. And I'm telling you, man, they let it all hang out. So who
gives a flip that you went to the grocery store and bought a cucumber? You got to take a picture because you went to the grocery store and bought a cucumber. Are you kidding me? I don't care. People take pictures of everything. Well, me and Junior, we went down there to the wise, slipped on a banana, took a picture of the banana peel. I mean, a preacher can hand a tract to a poor black kid and 14 cameras are around. Whoa, brother, son, handing a tract, handing out the gospel. I don't give a flip about that. That's your reward. I'm telling it right, ain't I? As silly as it sounds, I'm telling it right. Now, I'm not blowing out Facebook. Facebook can glorify God if you fill it with charity. I'm not blowing that stuff out. Just saying, do it right. Do it right. And I'm not saying anybody here is doing it wrong. You have to ask Debbie. She's the stalker. Be good, Steve, if we would take that time. And I heard a liberal preacher say this, Michael. And get our face off of that. Get out of Facebook and put our face in the book. I heard a liberal preacher say it. Oh, boy. Get out of Facebook and get our face in the book. It's amazing. Pretty good. I had that conversation with a man yesterday on social media. And for 20 minutes, listen, I tried to use it for the glory of God, Michael. Y'all can go and... Well, what I say you do? Stalk. Y'all can go stalk me and see my first little bit of conversations. You know what I did, Steve? I went on social media yesterday and stood up for the King James Bible. That's all. I stood up for the King James Bible. I just made some kind of a proclamation about the King James. Man, just bragging on the Bible and the Bible alone. And leaving all these other books out. Just like Abraham, take God at his word. Of course, I have to turn later on into mockery and stuff like that because poor old ignorant Moses, he was so pitiful. He didn't have a lexicon. How'd he ever pastor 2 million people? Bless his heart. Huh? How'd he do that? That little old idiot. I mean, he didn't have one commentary. He didn't have no suggestion. Listen, church, God said, Moses, get up here. Moses went up on top of the mountain and God gave him his word. Moses went down there and preached it. Amen. I like it. That's how he got by. He had the word of God. But Eric, for 20 minutes, finally, one of them, because I kind of just, you know, stood up for the word of God. It's amazing how many people you find out follows you. And I ain't got many followers, but you find out how many people stalk you when you say something about the Bible. And most of them are preachers. And they get mad because you stand up for the King James Bible. They get mad. And I love it. Man, I had them coming at me. Glory to God, I love it. I had them coming at me left and right. And so I was eating it up. And I know that's probably terrible and prideful and all that. I don't mean for it to be. I really don't. Because one of them ended up asking me a question. He said, can you give me an example of the corruption of the Greek? And I asked him a question. He said, oh, typical preacher. You're dodging the question. I said, no, sir, I'm not dodging the question. I'm just trying to get somewhere. I said, if you'll answer a few questions, I'll be more than glad to give you all the examples of the corruption of Greek that you possibly want. And he kept on. And finally, I said, sir, would you come into a private room with me and talk to me? Because I didn't want everybody, you know, interrupting us because he was asking a question. And church, I am that guy that you can't ask a question. You ask 99.9% of those Baptist preachers on social media a question and they will block you, friend. Trust me, I've asked them questions and they block me. I can name names, I promise you. I've been blocked. They just turn you out because you ask them a question. They call you all kind of names because you ask, like you're trying to undermine their thought. I just want to know something. Just want to know something. Help me. I'm ignorant. So he asked me a question, and I take it serious. I want to be able to answer it. Give him an answer, but I want to lay some groundwork. And he said, sure, I'll talk to you. And went over there, and we began to talk. And he, for 20 minutes, Steve, he will not argue. I can't plead with him, sir, please.
Please don't be like that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Sir, please listen. I'm trying to answer your questions. I'm not here to argue with you. I want to talk. I want to communicate like two adults. Say something. And I said, sir, I hope to God you don't minister like that. He said, well, I seen you call a guy a name a while ago, and I didn't. But a guy come on there and started running his mouth to me, and he didn't have a clue what he was talking about. He's a Calvinist, and I called him the clueless Calvinist. And that's what he is, because that's what he goes by, the clueless Calvinist. I said, sir, that's what he goes by. I call him, you call me a honky, and that's fine. That's what I am. Redneck, that's fine. That's what I am. He called me a name. He called me what it was. Nonetheless. Finally, I told him, I said, sir, here's your example. I gave him some history, Eric, on James Strong. I gave him some history on fairs. I gave him history on vines. I gave him history on Scott's. I gave him history on Liddell. I gave him history of the... Do you understand Scott Liddell was the first ones to ever write a lexicon? Everything that they pinned down, everybody that came along behind them said the same exact thing that them perverts said. You say, perverts? Yes, ma'am. Because Liddell is the very one that harbored the pervert in his house that was raping Alice in Wonderland and allowed him to take naked pictures of his own child while he harbored him in his home. And you want to study after these cats? Are you kidding me? I had to figure it out. I said, sir, I've studied this stuff all my life. And finally, God let me hear somebody say something. But the spirit of truth inside of me said, hey, there's something to that. Instead of bucking it, I checked it out. Some of y'all's been here long enough to know. He said, what are you trying to say? I said, sir, here's all I'm trying to say. Would you put your books up? Would you put your commentaries up? Would you put your lexicons up? Would you put the Strong's Concordance up? Definitions. If you use it, rip the definitions out and use the part that looks up all the scriptures. I said, and take your Bible and sit down, and you see a word in your Bible that stands out. Chase that word all through your Bible, everywhere it's mentioned. You won't need no Strong's Concordance. You won't need Thayer's to tell you what God. God will make it plain to you. He said, give me an example. I said, sir, love is an example. So we dealt with love and charity. I said, you want another one? Godhead. Y'all are welcome to look this stuff up. Godhead. Do you know what he calls Satan? He calls him the Son of God. He refers to Satan as Jesus Christ. He twists Satan and Jesus all through these people's writings. They refer to Satan as Jesus. They twist them. Go look them up. Over there where Paul told the people, he said, y'all are too superstitious because they was worried about them devils. And Paul looked at that crowd and said, y'all are just too superstitious. These people take and twist that and say, Paul told them that they were religious. And Paul was giving them some attaboys and patting them on the back. I said, sir, you want to keep going? You want to keep going? It don't stop. I said, sir, I'm asking you to take your Bible, lay it down, and just use God's Word to commentate God's Word, to define God's Word. There's a whole new world out there of the Word of God if you'll just take God at His Word. You know what His final words was to me? I reject your idea. What did He say? I reject. He said, I've used these books, and I'll continue to use them to help me get a deeper understanding of God's Word. I said, you mean you need those books to help you get a deeper understanding of God's Word? Deeper than God's Word can give you? He said, absolutely. I said, more power to you, sir. Goodbye. You're a better man than Moses was. Then my mockery started. Because poor old Moses couldn't have made it in this society, could he? God help us. Church, I didn't say that. I wasn't trying to be rude. But you know what I'm hoping, Michael? And from the bottom of my heart, I hope that man somewhere, somehow,
maybe on. I said, sir, for Jesus Christ's sake, would you please just try it? I even told him, I think at one point, sir, if you'll do this for 6 months and you can prove me to be wrong, I'll buy you supper. You go worry, I'll buy you supper if I'm wrong. But I thought, that's gambling. I might better not say that. What are you talking about? I'm talking about taking God at His word. And listen, church, this word charity means charity. It's the character of love. It's not love. Love fails. Charity faileth not. Look with me if you will. Let's chase it down. Look with me if you will. Hurry, hurry, hurry. In 1 Corinthians 16, I think what we'll do is just go in order, okay? 1 Corinthians 16, I think I got one verse out of order. That means we'll be doing the NASCAR thing. Instead of turning left, though, we're going to be turning right. Wow. Look at what he said here in 1 Corinthians 16, 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Steve, there's some things that I can't do in love. Some things, church, that I just can't do with love. Miss Stephanie, the Bible told me to do all things with charity. You know what that means? That means when you bring food over here on Sunday, do that with charity. When you walk in them doors, do it with charity. When you speak to one another, do it with charity. When you speak about one another, do it with charity. When you get on social media, do it with charity. And I honestly think that I tried to do that. Well, trying to be a smart aleck. Trying to be helpful. Trying to be helpful. Isn't it amazing, Michael, that we can take the light in a dark room and shine it in somebody's face and they go, that's not light. I mean, darkness, please. That's not light. Church, I'm a failure. I'm a goomball, I guess, because I pleaded my case the best I could. Just in, just short phrases without taking forever. Man, without worrying somebody else. I pled my case the best I could. I refuse your idea. I reject your idea. You reject studying the Bible? Just with the Bible? Do you know what chapter 16, verse 14 means? That means that in everything that you do, charity better be in the ingredients of what you do. Right? It ought to be the main ingredient. That means if you have something to say about your neighbor, your spouse, your church, then it needs to be said with charity in the driver's seat. Do it. Say it. Everything ought to be done with charity. If you do something towards someone, make sure charity is driving that. Charity. Look at Colossians 3:12. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 3:12. We'll go down to verse 14. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Church, if I'm not mistaken, I tried my dead level best to do that in a 20-minute conversation. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, are you listening? Even as Christ forgave you also, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Isn't that amazing? Put on charity, which is the what? Somebody say it. Thank you, Steve. You know what he just said? You know what your Bible just said? It's what I was telling you about marriages a while ago. You know what a bond is, don't you? And I ain't talking about jail. I'm talking about super glue. You understand what's going to keep us together? Charity. It's the bond. It's what holds the church together. It's what holds marriages together. It's what holds families together. It's what holds this thing together. Charity. You know why things split up? You know why things get weak and fall apart?
Somebody answer me. You know why they fall apart? No charity. Thank you, Isaiah.
No charity.
Is that what your scripture says? It's the bond. Boy, thank God for that. The bond of perfectness. It's good. Does that sound like that might be missing in the vast majority of the marriages across America? Huh? What's the divorce rate now? Does anybody know? I've heard 10,000 answers, but does anybody know something close?
One out of three.
One out of three? It's pretty bad. I heard it was a lot higher than that. I mean, that's 30%, Mama.
70% last time.
70%. What?
I've heard it's 50% for your first marriage, 66% for your second.
Yeah, it does increase. It does increase. I know. I remember that. Church? Wonder why it's like that. Wonder why half of them, just let's be conservative and say 50% of them. Wonder why 50% of them are falling apart. Does anybody reckon they have a clue? What's the bond that holds them together? A lack of charity. It's a lack of charity. Do you, listen to me, do you think that man and that woman ever loved each other? I would imagine that they was head over heels at one time as far as they thought. I bet you they, wow, man. Can you imagine, Miss Stephanie, when they met, the sparks was flying, and then the courtship, man, all that stirring in their heart was going, you know how it is, but you know. And y'all watch it back there. Little honeymooners. I would venture to say most of them, as far as they thought, they were head over heels in love. But somewhere along the line, something happened, and they ended up in a divorce court. And I'll be honest with you, I believe it's a lack of charity. It's a lack of charity. That's the glue. You understand that one of the problems with the church at Corinth, listen, one of the problems with the church at Corinth was that these people had plenty of gifts. They had all these gifts. They could prophesy. They could speak in tongues. One had the gift of interpreting tongues. Man, they had all these gifts distributed throughout that church. And when one excelled in a gift, they would exalt themselves. Man, look at me. Ain't I something? I got the gift of prophecy. Man, looky here. I got this thing. I got the gift of speaking in tongues, though. Look at me. Paul says, shut up. Ain't none of that any good outside of charity. You got all these gifts. God's blessed you. You got all this talent. But you ain't got an ounce of charity. And your church is falling apart. It's got schisms in it. That's why there's so much division and splitting in this church. Paul's trying to tell them. Church, we are to desire gifts. We are to desire talents from the Lord. We are to study to show ourselves approved. We are to want more knowledge from the Lord, God Almighty, in wisdom. But can I be honest with you? Above every bit of that, you know what we ought to strive after? We ought to strive after charity. Above the gifts. Above the knowledge. Above all, Paul said. Get you some charity. Mama said it a while ago. Knowledge puffeth up. Pride puffeth up. But knowledge, listen, knowledge with charity. Isn't that amazing? Ain't it something when you run across somebody that's got a life full of knowledge, a man, a heart full, a head full, and they got charity mixed in with that? Isn't that amazing? You hear some of these people talk, man, and they got something to say. It's a blessing. And then you hear some people, man, they can really preach. They can really plow the corn. I'm telling you, man, they can go, but ain't got an ounce of charity. No charity. You cross them suckers. Are you listening? You can cross them suckers and they'll write you off so fast and make your hand swim, friend. That's not charity. And we'll see that in just a second. God, help us to have this charity. Wouldn't it be awful to die a martyr's death, to die in vain because of pride without charity? It's an awful way to die without any kind of a reward. Sure it is. Let's go...
Let's go to 3 John, please. 3 John. Wonder why Colossians here in our chapter, in our Colossians 3, wonder why Colossians says to put on charity. Because God knew we didn't have it. He knew we was going to get some and put it on. He knows we're not charitable. He knows how selfish we are and how self-driven. God said, you better do something. Go over and pick you up some charity and put that on for a while. Good. Look at... Third John. Third John, chapter 1, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Man, I want to back up and read that again. It'd be all right with y'all. Verse 1, the elder unto the well beloved Gaius. Guys, whom I love in truth. And Eric, while I'm thinking about it, I got good reports on that Sunday school lesson. It's on the internet. People's called me and said they enjoyed it and all that. So thank you, sir. It was good Sunday. And he's under Gaius or Guys, who I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, Gaius. Even as thou walkest in the truth, Gaius, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, Gaius. I really take pleasure in this. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity, Gaius. That's who he's talking to. This is the testimony of Gaius before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. He said, Gaius, here's what I'm hearing. We had a testimony service dinner at the church. He said, man, there was visitors in there. I'm talking about strangers in the land. He said, man, we had a testimony service broke out. He said, the people started standing up and they was talking about what a charitable man you was. Yes, I want you to know that the church was bragging on your charity. And I appreciate that. It's good to hear about God's people walking in charity. You know what I'm trying to say, Steve? I believe that people run across old Gaius, and I would venture to say, Miss Stephanie, if he was living in the same world that I was living in, not everybody was sweet, not everybody was kind, not everybody did exactly. Maybe, Miss Mama, somebody came by his house and had a few ass with kids, and maybe they turned a vase over and busted a vase over in the house. You know what old Gaius did? He caused the church split. Because them little old brats running around down there, bless God, tearing his house all to pieces. Up in New York, they got the Montgomery kids. Down here in North Carolina, we got them Asquith kids. I love them. No, Steve, here's what I'm trying to say. I believe if old Gates had somebody over at his house, Mama, one of their kids turned over a vase and busted it. I believe the charity of old Gaius said, you know what? It's okay. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. We'll make it fine about that vase. Now, if that was a decent mom and daddy, they would say, no, sir, Gaius. My kid broke it. We're going to pay for it. But whether they paid for it or not, and I think a good mom and daddy ought to take care of whatever the kids break after they break that kid. Hey, man, Eric, thank you. But you know what the church said? Church said, John, he's been good to us. Said he's been charitable. Said our kids ain't always act like they should in front of him, but you know what? He's never run them down.
He's never been ugly to us. He's always been good to us. He's always been charitable to us. He's always tried to help us. He's always done things. He's always just said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that, man. Let's just go on for the glory of God. And here's a church full of people recognizing this man's got something. And they want to stand up in there at the church and say, boy, we want to thank God for the charity that old Gaius has got. Good. It's a good testimony. Wouldn't that be a good testimony to have on the job? Wouldn't it be a good testimony to have in the community? Wouldn't it be a good testimony to have in the church, amongst the family, amongst your brethren, amongst your kin? Wouldn't it be a blessing? Boy, he's charitable. He's kind. He's doing good to people. If I don't hurry, we ain't there. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1. I knew I got out of whack. I come in here thinking I got about 30 minutes to speak, and my goodness, an hour later. Where's Thessalonians at? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's right after 1 Thessalonians, y'all. Second Thessalonians 1:3 says this. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He's thanking God for them because he sees every one of them doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're showing charity one towards another, every one of them. I want to thank God for y'all. Well, Paul walked up and I want to thank God for y'all. Boy, I look in here, you folks are showing charity. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. You're being charitable to one another. He didn't talk about their faith that can move mountains. He didn't talk about their ability to interpret tongues. He didn't talk. He talked about their charity one for another. It's a blessing. Let's go. Look at Timothy, 1 Timothy. All right, that's the next page over. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a what? A pure heart, and of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. Not old fake faith, the real deal. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto, I like this word, vain jangling. Oh, vain jangling. Do you know what the damn, now listen, this is a key. Do you know what the damn to charity is? You know what makes that big wheel turn and the gates to close and to shut charity off? You know what it is? A dirty heart. A dirty heart. Do you know what opens charity up in our life? A pure heart. That's a clean heart. That's holy living. That's clean living. That's getting them old sins out, my shit. Amen. Opening the floodgates. You get that sin out of your life, ladies and gentlemen, it'll open those floodgates and that charity can flow through you and out of you. Hallelujah. Thank God and affect everybody else around you. Sin causes charity to cease. Sin is the thing that stops charity. Sin is what dams it up where it can't flow out of us. Why are so many people having problems getting along? Why is people having a problem with this stickability, this bond? Because of sin. Sin! I tell you, boy, I believe sin's a lot stinking bigger than what we think. You hear me? I believe a lot of people are sick today, Stan. I'm talking about physically sick because of sin. Right? Well, the eating habits don't help. The drinking habits don't help. But I can promise you one thing, friend. You can get that sin out of your life. Old Jack Woods down there, and he'd have them old gals coming up into church selling herself on the street down there in Texas. And I remember Brother Leroy talking about them girls coming up in there and that old sin, and they'd be in church and they wouldn't be having the flu. They'd be perfectly healthy walking up in there. And he said that conviction would get so strong, they'd be laying out in the pews in the aisles puking. And people running over trying to help. Jack going, leave them alone. That's them devils coming out of them. That's sin coming out. Right. Get that junk out. Get it out, thank God. Get your heart pure. Pure heart allows that charity to flow out of you. Right? I like that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And the Bible says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Now what's this? "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. If they continue," listen, "she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now I know a lot of people say a lot of things about this verse, and I'm not sure if they're right or if they're wrong. I don't know. But there's a lot of people says that a woman will fulfill this verse. Now I'm not saying this is right. I'm just telling you one side of what people say. They say if women will fulfill that verse when they go to childbearing, that travail ain't nowhere near like it normally is. A woman living unholy, a woman outside of the faith, a woman without charity will go down there and suffer greater than a woman fulfilling that verse. Now that's what they say. It could be so. I don't know. I never had a baby. Never tried it. But here's what I think, ladies. I think if you'll fulfill that verse, boy, this breaks my heart, Miss Sidney. It stirs me up. Breaks my heart with joy. Mama, I believe if a woman will fulfill that verse, I've seen boys come to church. I've heard preachers stand up. I've seen men testify and talk about a drunken daddy and a godly mama. I've seen it 100 times in my life or more. Boy, daddy wasn't drunk. You know how many preachers I've heard talking about my daddy wasn't drunk. My mama was a praying woman. My daddy would beat my mama. I've heard it. You know what I believe that man was saying? My mama walked in faith. My mama had charity. My mama lived holy. My mama was doing this in sobriety. And here I am today because of her. God has honored her life and gave her somebody that will bring glory and honor to God Almighty. Listen, ladies, it don't make no difference what the men do. It does. It makes a big difference. But with God, I'm telling you, He'll raise them children up, whether that man does right or not. If you'll walk with God, if you'll walk in holiness, if you'll walk in charity, if you'll walk in faith, if you'll do it with sobriety, I'm telling you, God will raise your children up for His honor and His glory. It's what I believe. I've seen it way too many times not to believe it. Right? It's in the Word of God, whether I've seen it or not. It's in the Word of God. Well, you say, "Preacher, that's nuts." Is it? How come Eve didn't do this and she split 50-50? Huh? How come Eve didn't do like this? She gave him instead. Look at there. Her one son killed her other son. Isn't that something? I believe I'd take the chance on the other side, wouldn't you? Be a little bit better. She didn't walk in faith. She walked in disobedience. She disobeyed the very word of God. And look what happened in her children's life. Just saying, boy, God honor it. God honor you ladies for doing that stuff. Right? Let's go 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no man despise thy youth." Here it is. We dealt with this the other week. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." He's Paul talking to this young preacher, Timothy. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." How? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." We dealt with that the other day, but I want to point out the fact that you don't have to be old to participate in charity. He's talking to a young man. He said, "Young man, be an example in charity." John David, you're to be an example, son. Stephen, he's talking to a young fella. You're to be an example in charity. Young people, you don't have to be old to live for God and do what God said. You're to do it when you're young. Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're moving, ain't we? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Oh, "Flee also youthful lust." You know what that means, John David? You know what "flee also youthful lust" means? That means you need to run as hard and fast
and as swift and sudden as you can. Do not wait a second when lust arises in your life. Get away immediately, as hard as you can. Push away. Flee. Son, fleeing ain't playing. Fleeing is getting out of town. Flee, youthful lust. But follow righteousness. Follow faith. Follow charity. Follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Sinful heart. You can't follow after charity with a sinful heart. You're going to have to follow after it said with a pure heart. Amen. Amen. Pure heart. Well, I tell you, that young man needs to have a clean life. Amen. And I've been young, David said, now I'm old. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, everybody in this congregation can fit in these young and old categories. That's right. I'm telling you, to a young man, I'm aged. Right. To a young man, to Stephen, I'm aged. To an old man, we ain't got none of them in here. But to an old man, I'm just a middle-aged fella. Son, I'll tell you somewhere in that Bible, I can find myself in these verses, whether it's young, old, or middle-aged, somewhere in between. I can find myself in them scriptures. Did you say I was old? Okay. Look with me, please, real quick. Titus 2, Timothy, Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become a sound doctrine. Here it is, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise. Don't get out of it. You got to be charitable too. I'll be honest with you, y'all ain't old, but to these youngins, y'all sure is aged. Amen. Y'all aged. Look with me, please, in the book of Hebrews, James. Let's go to 1 Peter. We moving, ain't we? Who's James? Peter. I wish somebody, Miss Ruth Ann was here and she'd say, slow down, preacher. She gets on to me for hurrying. The rest of y'all just kind of yagging on. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things, have charity. Is that what it said? Thank you. Fervent charity. You know, God don't even accept hot charity in this case. He don't expect you to do it 90% of the time. Instead, that's pretty hot. 99% is pretty hot. You show the charity 99%. God said you better do this in fervent charity. This thing ought to be lighting you up. You ought to be on fire with it. I mean, you ought to be consumed with it. It ought to be a vehement heat coming off of you. You just can't wait to show some charity. That's what he's trying to say. Just excited. You're thrilled. You're on fire with it. And we know he can't stand anything lukewarm. But in this case, he don't even like it hot. He wants it extremely hot. What verse was that?
7.
That was 7. But in all things, sober, watch in the prayer above all things, fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And ain't that so? Boy, ain't that so. Isn't it amazing when somebody don't have charity how much they can expose everybody else's wrong? Hello, come on now. When you ain't got no charity, it's easy to start pointing fingers. Ain't that amazing? You want to know how I can recognize a lack of charity in a person's life? When they start pointing fingers at everybody. Right. Well, he and she and they. And listen, how about some charity? How about some charity right there? God, help us. You ever showed them any charity? Did you hear what I just said, Steve? I said, charity will stop the drama. Charity will stop the drama. Charity will stop the drama. Charity will stop the whispers. Charity will stop the backbitings. Charity will stop the gossip. Sure will. Charity. Stop all that junk. You want to know how to end it? Have some charity. You want to know who don't? People that don't have charity. They talk. They gossip. They backbite. They whisper. They judge. Out of whack. Hey. You know what I can't do, Miss Stephanie? Somebody give me a witness. I can't even keep myself straight. I have a hard time dealing with old Dave. You hear me? Son, I have a hard time keeping old Dave straight. It's a full-time job, Michael, to keep my own hide out of trouble. Sure, I'm telling you, man, I'm so prone to wander. God, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I'm so prone to do that. I'm so prone to get out of whack. I'm so prone to get out of step. I ain't got time for all that. God, help me. Amen, help me. You know who my biggest problem is? It ain't you. My biggest problem is me. You know who your biggest problem is? Look with me, if you will, in Jude, and we'll be done. Yeah, I think Steve said his biggest problem was Holly. We're going to make that public. We'll go ahead and make that public. That way, if anybody was mad at me, at least you can feel sorry for him tonight, son. Jude chapter 27, verse 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These, listen, are spots in your feast of charity." They're spots. They're spots. "When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds them," we talked about this, "the clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever." Look, and I said the other day, O Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, before the flood ever took place, Enoch said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the last days. There's going to be spots in the Feast of Charity. There's going to be a church over there, and that church is going to be getting along just fine. Are you listening? He said, they come in and they eat among you. Steve, you can have a church that's walking in fellowship, that's walking in charity, walking in unity. How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. We don't have a problem here, church, but this is preventive maintenance preaching, okay? Gotta preach the book. But isn't it amazing how the church can be flowing and all of a sudden somebody come in with a monkey wrench? You know what they are? Spots in your feast of charity. Come in, they start eating with you. They sit down amongst you and they start talking. Spots in your feast of charity. I said it a while ago. Steve, charity in these cases belongs to everybody but them. You're supposed to have charity. You're supposed to have charity. Miss Hannah's supposed to have charity. But I don't have to. I can say what I want to say. Stephanie can say what she wants to say. She's the pastor's wife. You know that ain't so. But that's where we're at in the American church. That's the age of apostasy. That's where we're at. I'm telling you, we got our pulpits full of preachers today. God bless your heart. They want everybody to show them charity. But they don't have to show you any. And I promise you one thing. If you cross any one of them's grain, because I do cross their grain, not on purpose, I just do because I defend the word of God. I stand up for that book, Miss Debbie, and it crosses people's brains, and they mark me off so fast. Mom, I'm telling you, I ain't got a handful of friends outside this congregation. I don't have a handful. I don't have four friends outside the church. Go way back, you understand? I got friends like Travis Clayton, Sammy Allen, your daddy, Tim McVeigh. That's my friends outside this church. Got a few companions. Got some to come.
I've had many, many call me friend. But they've cut me off. And I'm not having a pity party. I'm just talking about spots in the feast of charity. It belongs to, and it's amazing, church, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be clear about this. They can justify why they don't have charity and why they don't have to. They can justify it. And then I'll be honest with you, I've been around them, Michael. I've been around them and learned how to justify it for myself. Sure I have. Justified it for myself. I made my own like a charity. Okay. You know what I was? I was a spot in everybody else's feast of charity at that time. Sure was. Right. Huh? Spewing out foam. Clouds without water. I mean, man, I was good for absolutely nothing. That's what Paul said, good for nothing. Oh, but preacher, man, old Dave knocked it out of the park. Yeah, but the sucker didn't have an ounce of charity in him. Absolutely nothing. He preached that great message all in vain. God will not reward that. Isn't that amazing? Church, we ought to have charity. We ought to have charity. I'm telling you. You say, preacher, I have a hard time loving this person. Show them some charity. Love will grow out of that. You love who you help. I'm going to prove it one more time. How come you mamas love them kids more than them kids love you? Because you do so much more for them. One of these days that kid will grow up and boy, he can start doing for his mama and he can start appreciating what she's doing. I tell you, man, until that time, that mama's love for that kid, that's why that kid can rip that young, that kid can rip that mama's heart out. Hey. She has showed him so much charity, son, she'd lay her life down for that child. Huh? And there's been a many a children that had such little charity, they was willing to let their mama lay their life down. God, help us to have this charity. Teach our children and set this example. That's right. Young men, old men, middle-aged, women likewise. Right? The church ought to have charity. Love one another. Show one another charity. Huh? Let's encourage one another. Help each other. Befriend one another. Right? I want to be your friend. I want to be your enemy. I want you to be my friend. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this little study, this precious book. Thank you, Lord, for the word charity. God, I thank you, dear Lord, that you said that we can put it on. And God, it's that old filthy, dirty, sinful heart that's hindering us, God, from walking in this blessed thing of charity. Lord, it's that broken fellowship between us and the Father that's keeping us, Lord, from walking in charity. Help us, oh God. We pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me give y'all a word of encouragement. If you get a chance to go on Black Creek's website and go on there, I think it's John Asquith. There's 49 things it looks to choose from, but I believe going to John Asquith. Whatever it is, you go to December the 11th. I'm going to turn this off before he hears me brag on him. He's good for nothing. He's good for absolutely nothing.